In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, we're coming to the close of the cycle, if you like, of the redemption. We had Lent, which led us to Passion Week and Holy Week, and then Good Friday. We then had Easter, the resurrection of our Lord. We then celebrated the Ascension, and after that, Pentecost. And since then, we've also celebrated the Blessed Sacrament, Corpus Christi, and also the Sacred Heart. And this week, on the 1st of July, is the Feast of the Precious Blood. So we're coming around to the closing, if you like, of that circle of different events in our Lord's life that show us about the redemption. Therefore, it is a good thing to look back and have a look and see what it is that is essential and what it is that is necessary. Of course, we know it's the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the center of it all. It is in the Passion that our Lord demonstrated his undying love for us, and that his love knew no limits. And so we look at the Passion, and we see our Lord's display, if you like, of love. God the Father loves mankind with an incredible love and wants us to get to heaven, to the point where he was willing to allow his Son to suffer and die on the cross, to the complete destruction of his human nature that had been united to the divine nature by the Holy Ghost at the moment of the incarnation of our Lord. So God the Father was willing to allow his Son to suffer and actually required that as the reparation needed for the payment of sin. God the Son loves us with such a love that he was willing to undergo that suffering and to fulfill what was needed for the reparation and salvation, reparation of sin and salvation of mankind. And the Holy Ghost too loves us with such an infinite love, the same divine love, because the Holy Ghost was willing to take all of the merits of the Passion of our Lord and then distribute it to souls through the sacraments, through the grace that we receive in the sacraments. So, of course, the Passion and death is the essential. But that Passion and death is not just something unique and on its own. It is contained within the context of the whole of what God has revealed to us through the Old Testament as well. If you have a look in the Old Testament, there are four sacrifices required for the four ends of what the sacrifice is for. First of all, there's the adoration of God. Adoration meaning that we acknowledge his supremacy, we acknowledge his authority, we acknowledge his right over us, and we acknowledge all that he asks, and that he has a right to ask us those things. There is, of course, thanksgiving, which is whereby we thank our Lord, or we thank God for all the good things that he has shown us and given us. And we show that we are grateful by complying with his laws. There is a third sacrifice, which was that of reparation. In other words, an offering to make up for our sins. And there was fourth, the sacrifice of impetration, which to ask for God's grace. And in that asking for God's grace, we show our trust in his divine providence. We show our trust in his goodness. We show our trust in that generosity with which he deals with us. And we submit our wills and our minds to him through the faith and the practice of the faith. Those are the four sacrifices that were commanded in the Old Testament, which our Lord was going to summarize into one great sacrifice, which is his own. The greatest of all sacrifices, where the victim is God himself, where the victim would be slain on the altar and would pay the debt of all sin. But our Lord didn't want to just have this as one spot in the history of mankind. He wanted it to continue, just as he'd commanded in the Old Testament that all of these sacrifices be done daily by those that were there. Our Lord wanted to continue his sacrifice, and thus he gave us the Blessed Sacrament. The Blessed Sacrament is the expression, if you like, of how much our Lord loves us. We know that our Lord told his apostles, no greater love a man can have than to give his life for his fellow man. And our Lord was going to show us just that there was no love greater than what he had for us in suffering and dying. But he also wanted to give it to us all so that we may become partakers of his great sacrifice. And so therefore our Lord wanted to find a way in which you and I, in this day and age, may be able to participate in those essential sacrifices, but not just in the little sacrifices of those four types, but in the greatest of all sacrifices, which is that of our Lord, to make us part of himself. And so he instituted the Blessed Sacrament, and that Blessed Sacrament was given to the apostles at the Last Supper. First of all, there was what we call the Last Supper, which was basically the Passover meal as prescribed by the liturgy of the Old Testament. But after they had done that sacrifice, or that Passover meal in remembrance of the Passover, which all of the people in Jerusalem would be doing, our Lord then pushed things aside. And they cleared the table, and there the apostles put bread and wine. And our Lord now was going to give us the new sacrifice, be part of the new sacrifice of his passion, by allowing us to partake in that actual passion of our Lord. Now, our Lord had told his apostles that he was going to give us his flesh and blood to eat. He had told them in that big sermon we find in the beginning of St. John, he who eats my body and drinks my blood shall have life within him. He who does not shall not have life within him. So the apostles knew that our Lord was going to give us his body and blood. It was a shocking thing, actually, because in the Old Testament, blood was something treated sacredly because God said it was in the blood that the life of the thing resided. And only God was master of life and death. And so they had this very great reverence for blood, and they would never eat any blood products or anything like that. So when our Lord then said, you're going to eat my body and drink my blood, it flew against everything that they had as a habitual thing in their belief. And so it was something shocking for our Lord to say. But he explained it. My flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. Yes, it was going to take the faith to help them understand who this person was. But our Lord proved it through all of his miracles and all the rest of it and his doctrine. But it did require the faith. So the apostles had the faith, and therefore they knew that our Lord would give it one day. And here, at the Last Supper, after they put the things of the Old Testament aside, he took the bread and he consecrated it. The apostles had seen him do miracles before. They knew that he was God and that his word creates reality, makes it exist. They'd seen the wonderful multiplication, or the change of water into wine, the incredible multiplication of bread and fishes on two occasions, and all the other miracles that our Lord did. So they didn't doubt his words. But the actual comprehension of what was going on would only come after Pentecost, once they had been filled with the Holy Ghost and given those seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, and that the Holy Ghost had taught them, taken them and taught them what our Lord had done, to understand it, to comprehend it. But the apostles saw that our Lord said, this is my body. And they believed. When our Lord consecrated the wine, he turned it into his precious blood. And he said, this is the blood of the New Testament. Now, just as Moses had slain that ox after he'd given the Ten Commandments, that, and they'd put the sacrifice, or they were given the laws of the sacrifices, Moses offered one of the animals, and then when he poured the blood on the altar, he said, now this is the blood of the testament between man and God. Of course, by referring to blood, in their minds they understood the reference. This is the life of the testament between God and man. It is in the sacrifices which have to be done and what the sacrifices mean and stand for that they were sanctified. So when our Lord said, now this is the blood of the New Testament, no longer is it the blood of a victim offered on the altar, you know, an animal slain. It is now the blood of the pure, absolutely perfect victim, which is God Himself. So our Lord wanted us to partake. But He also wanted it to be handed on to mankind throughout the ages in the church. And that's why He said, do this in memory of me. Do what? Consecrate. Do that what I have just done. Transubstantiate the bread into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. Transubstantiate the wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do this as a memory of me, in remembrance of me. Now, that was so it could be handed on. Because our Lord wants us all to be partakers of His great sacrifice. He instituted it in the form of food. Because that's something we can understand. We know we eat food not just to enjoy it, which is a good side of it, but we eat it because we need it to sustain life in us. That life may develop in us. That health may remain in us. And the same thing is going to happen with the Blessed Sacrament. We're given to understand that our Lord is the nourishment of the soul. It is He who is going to give growth in the supernatural in the soul. It's He who is going to give that supernatural health to the soul. And it's He that's going to give life everlasting in the end. So there is that wanting to partake of what our Lord has as part of receiving the Blessed Sacrament. But there is more to it as well, because when we eat some food, that food becomes us, is assimilated and becomes part of us. But we cannot bring our Lord down to our level, because our level is one of fallen human nature and the level of what original sin has damaged. So there is a reverse there in the supernatural and spiritual side, and that is that we are assimilated by communion into our Lord. Into this mystical body of Christ. That is why the saints tell us, as you know from your catechism, all of the sacraments have a specific grace that sacrament gives. And only that sacrament can give that specific grace. What is that specific grace that is given in the Holy Eucharist? The Fathers of the Church and all the theologians, St. Thomas, teach very clearly. It is the unification of all members into this mystical body of Christ. So St. Augustine is going to explain it in very beautiful terms, where he says, just as many grains of wheat are crushed to make one bread, and many grapes are crushed to make one wine, so this sacrament takes of the many individual members and makes it into one mystical body, unites us. And thus, when we receive communion, we receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. There is a union of our souls with our Lord. And our Lord is united to us by coming really present into your soul in Holy Communion. But the person next to you receiving communion receives the same God. And that is why we say we make a common union with the common head, which is our Lord. That's where the word comes from, communion, the common union. So the sacrament is the sacrament which specific grace is to forge the links of this mystical body of Christ, uniting every member of the mystical body of Christ to the same head, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, and to each other in true charity. So it's the sacrament of the church, of the edification of the church. Not only edification insofar as leading us to higher love of God and sanctity, but edification in the Latin word of actually building, to build an edifice. So the sacrament is there to form those links, to bind us. To bind us first and foremost to our Lord, to the head. So that His sacrifice, his passion, and his death are actually ours. And we can, because of our union in the mystical body of Christ, claim them as ours. And on the day of judgment, we can claim those sacrifices of our Lord as reparation for the sins that we have committed in the past, and thus be able to get to heaven. But of course, the amount that we can claim depends on how much we have been part of it by our spiritual life, the practice of the virtues, how much we partook of the passion of our Lord by, as St. Paul would say, completing in your body that which is lacking to the passion of Christ. Of course, there's nothing lacking in the passion of Christ, but that which is lacking is your participation as a living member of the mystical body of Christ, as part of Christ, your part. And we do that by the practice of the virtues, by the mortifications we practice, and the learning to love God more and more. So the first union, of course, is each and every one of us with the head. But if we could only understand what a union that truly is, we would see it's the union of someone who loves, of a lover, who loves us with the greatest possible love that could be. It's a divine love. And we might say our Lord in his sacred heart pants with desire to receive your soul in his presence and to be united with your soul in a Holy Communion. It's his desire. When he instituted the Blessed Sacrament, he saw all of the saints that would participate in his passion and death through the sacrament and be saved in that. But he also saw all of the sins of sacrilege and all of those other sins which we commit against our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Notably, the sin which the Catholics commit the most, negligence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. That tepidity, that coolness in our hearts when it comes to the love of God. How we all are wounded by that. And how do we know it? Have you noticed what a chore it is to come to Mass? We can't even get there on time most of the time. And as soon as Mass is finished, we just want to run out there as fast as we can to do what? Go meddle in the things of the world again. Probably even damage the grace of God and the soul by gossip and all the rest of it. Yet we should be here, savoring that moment of that union of the soul with God. In the lives of the saints, we see interesting examples that they give. And one of them is, if our Lord appeared here and he announced he'll be here for 3 days, anybody who wants to come and see him can come and he can chat. Do you realize what's going to happen? This place is going to be so full and everybody's going to have to shove, shove, shove. I want to get there. Lord, I need to tell you this, that, and next. So you're going to have Father Clifton here to tell you, no, move on. The next has got to get a chance and all this. Move on, move on, move on. Give it a couple of hours and you've all texted everybody else. The whole of London's at the door. Give it another day or so and all the flights from Europe are coming in all over the place. Give it another day, you've got all those from the other continents of the world coming into Seattle. Can you imagine what a mess it'll be in here? Millions of people trying to get to see our Lord. We've only got 3 days, 72 hours. You've got millions of people to talk to. So what's going to happen is you're going to have to put something there so that everybody going by says, hi, Lord, and next one, because, hey, they need a chance too. Yet, where is your faith? He's there. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. Actually present. And there's nobody who's going to shove you along and say, hey, now I need to talk to him. Because he's there to listen to each and every one of us individually. He's there to give all his time to each and every one of us who want it. Isn't that what our faith teaches us? So St. Alphonse Liguori says, what should we be doing in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament? He says, well, what does a sick man do in the presence of a doctor? Ask for help, ask for guidance, all this, that, next. Somebody who's in need of serious help or need, what does he ask when he's in front of somebody who's extremely, infinitely generous? You ask him for what you want, what you need. Somebody who's dying of hunger comes to somebody who's very generous. What do you ask? You ask him for what you need, food, for sustenance. But why don't we do that? That's what it's supposed to be. When we are in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it's not a time to have a siesta because you're sick of what's being said, or you're tired of seeing the same thing every time, or you're just burnt out from giving all your time to the things of the world. This is a special time in which we should talk to our Lord. Unite your heart with our Lord. That's what he wanted. That's why he instituted the Blessed Sacrament, so that you can have his presence. And it is a presence far greater than what the apostles had. Because the apostles would follow our Lord, yes, this, that, next. They'd hear our Lord talk and this, that, next. They'd see him do his miracles, and our Lord might say a word to them now and then and all the rest of it. But our Lord designed another way, far more intimate, far more profound, to unite himself to your soul. It's a union which is far greater than just talking to somebody across the street. It's a union where our Lord is actually inside of your soul. He fills your soul. He can read every thought. He can hear every word. He can see everything in your soul. So it's a time in which we should lay the soul bare before our Lord, asking as a doctor to help fix this ailment, this damage, this, that, and the next. And we unite our little sacrifices with his great suffering so that he may give us the perfect medication to heal. It's in those moments we bear the soul and all of its needs, all of your worries, all your concerns. We put them before our Lord that he may look upon them and give us the blessing that he wants to give us on all of these things. It's true that blessing is not necessarily going to be the way you want it, a miraculous change of all this, that, and next. When you win the lottery, that doesn't work. But what he's going to do is going to help your soul. Look after your soul. If you understood this, how is it possible that you find it such a chore to be in his presence? How is it possible that we be distracted, disrespectful even, slouched in his presence? We'd be devoutly united with him. So I encourage you, my dear faithful, this is what it's all about. We've got the Feast of the Precious Blood coming up during this week. It'll be on Thursday. Remember, that's the blood of the New Testament. Let us ask our Lord to fill us with his blood. Give us a blood transfusion of the divine blood so that we live by a new life, a different life, one that is so much lifted above the things of the world that it is like unto the life of Christ. That's why he wanted to give us this. And if we look at Our Lady, we find one of the most beautiful examples of all of this, because in our Blessed Mother we find all of this to its highest perfection. In our Lord, you've got the union of the divine and the human operated by the work of the Holy Ghost. That's what the angel told Our Lady at the Annunciation. The Holy Ghost will overshadow you, and therefore he that shall be born of you shall be called Son of God. It's the work of the Holy Ghost putting those two together. But when we look at our Blessed Mother, she's got that same union. All right, it's not the divine nature by nature, but it's by grace. Her union with our Lord in grace is such there could not be a higher union of the divine with the human outside of the divine nature united with the human nature. Our Lady is given to us by our Lord to be a true mother, but she's also an extraordinary example of what it's like. Can you imagine the devotion with which our Blessed Mother assisted at the masses that St. John said for her? With what reverence she would have been in the presence of her son, whom she loved so much. And our Lord calls us to follow the example. Yes, we cannot do it to the same degree because we don't have the same strength and same courage and all the rest of it. But we must, to the best of our ability, try and tend towards that union. And then you'll see, communion becomes something which really does become important in your life. something which you love very much, something which you'll never miss. If there's a possibility of getting it, you'd never miss it. And if you look, if the church is in such a mess, if even our own souls are in such a mess at times, is it because we've neglected this great gift? We've neglected to take the medication. We've neglected to take the food he's given us. We've neglected to take the example that he's shown us. During this Mass, let us ask our Lord that he helps us so that we do not be negligent anymore, and that we do change, that today you may make a change in your life, one whereby you're going to, with a firmness desire, learn to love our Lord more and more. May our Lord bless you all. Mother, with your loving Son, bless us each and everyone.